You are now listening to a message from Ekah Christian Center. Get set to be edified. God has blessed you.
There are a couple of people here probably have not great experience, all right, when it comes to relationships, have, you know, heartbreak stories and things like that. And probably you are currently in that position where you are wondering whether you will find someone to make a home with because your experiences in that regard has not been pleasant. I want you to know, listen, that, you know, you are not yet at the end of the story. Praise God. Yeah, you're not yet at the end of the story. All right. Just be patient. God will always come true. And you see the pain you feel now that you can reference, that you can relate to now. As time goes on, you find out that God will be able to ensure that when you try to think about the pain and the hurt that people have, you know, done to you, and you won't be able to find it. That's life. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's life. Glory to God. That's life. So today I'm going to be teaching on School of Marriage. Now, this is for those who are married and those who are single. If you are in this church, if you are in this auditorium, it means that at least you are above 18. You are not in our teenage church, praise God, or in the children's church. So we can have this conversation, praise God. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 2. For shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, it's very important to note and never forget that the marital institution, the marriage institution, is set by God. So it is not something that man designed. It's something that God designed and showed us what it should be about. Glory to God. If you go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 9, all right, you see that in scriptures, many times in the marital institution, the husband is a typology of Christ, while the wife is a typology of the church. So if a man who is a Christian wants to understand how he's to relate with his wife, he's supposed to look at the example, all right, that we have with Christ and his church. In Revelation 21, verse 9, it says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which are the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." All right, the Lamb here is the Lord Jesus, and the wife is the church. All right, the church is also called the heavenly Jerusalem in scripture. In Revelation chapter 21, 2-3, it says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." In Ephesians chapter 5 and 32, media, my screen is not, scripture is not showing. All right. Ephesians 5:32, can we read? It says what? "For this cause shall a man do what? Leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife." And church, I'm not reading now. "And shall be joined unto?" And they two shall be what? Now, you notice that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, Paul quotes Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. All right. But Paul adds something. All right. He says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." What does that mean? It means that Genesis 2:24 has a double application. One, it's all right, it applies to marriage on earth between a man and his wife. All right, but also, all right, it also applies to the union between Christ and his church. So when a man gets born again, when a man receives the life of God, all right, metaphorically, he has become the bride, or he has become part of the bride, all right, of Christ. So the body of Christ is the bride of Christ. So just as we are to learn, if we're going to learn how a husband is to be a husband, we are supposed to look at Christ and how he sacrificed himself for his bride. If we are supposed to learn about how a wife should be a wife, we should look at how the church, the body of Christ, submits itself, all right, to the lordship and authority of Christ. That is the dynamics. That's how, all right, we are supposed to learn about marriage. Now, it's very important to understand that there is a difference between biblical marriage and modern marriage. They are not the same. Modern marriage with modern frameworks, with modern philosophies, are not the same with biblical marriage. I've heard a lot of people say, the Bible is patriarchal. The Bible celebrates patriarchy. What do they mean by that? They mean that the Bible says that a husband, All right, should provide for his wife and should love his wife, and the wife should submit. Some folks, especially the feminists, has an issue with submission because the feminist has interpreted submission as subjugation. Why? I do not blame feminists who actually, you know, interpret submission as subjugation. They do that interpretation based on what they see and based on the experiences that they have had. I always tell folks, feminism is a reaction. All right? Feminism is a reaction. It's a cry for help. It's a cry to take back dominion, to take back control. Because men, all right, have, you know, over the years abused women. Look at what's happening with this Epstein scandal. Most of the women that were abused were young girls. Young girls. And the reason why men were able to do that was because the men had power, all right, to do it. All right? Young girls. Women have been used and have been viewed as just, you know, bodies for the pleasure of men for centuries. For thousands of years. So what you find with the feminist movement is a cry to take control back. Praise the Lord. All right. But you see, the truth is submission, God's way, is not subjugation. As we're going to see in this, you know, from the scripture. It's not subjugation. It is not manipulation, control, subjugation, domination. That's not what it is. Submission, all right, in God's way, is a woman submits to a husband that loves her, just as Christ, praise God, amen, the church submits to a Lord that has demonstrated his love for us in that he gave himself to die on the cross for us. Usually, submission becomes subjugation when there is no love. Hallelujah. Submission becomes manipulative, where a man wants to manipulate submission out of his wife. When a man wants to manipulate and subjugate his wife, all right, love is not present. Okay, I've always found out that whenever someone asks to say to his wife, I am your husband, you must submit, you must submit, something's going on there. Women don't need to be told to submit when the man loves them right. You understand? Usually, good women, by the way, I might add, praise the Lord, because I've seen things. Glory to God. All right, good women, they don't need to, you know, you don't have to say, you have to submit to me, you have to submit to me. Something is wrong when you have to, you understand? When you have to say, I'm the husband, something's wrong, you understand? And it's not, you know, so we have to get that part right, and we need to acknowledge that problem. Because if we do not acknowledge that problem, then we cannot solve for it. We have to acknowledge, all right, that the way the world has been historically, it has been designed to subjugate women. That's the truth. All right? Women have been largely subjugated. All right? Women have largely not had authority to do a lot of things. All right? The right of women to have agency, okay, in certain things, social, community, political, has been withdrawn, all right, in many societies. Many societies. In many societies, women did not have the right to vote until the 50s and the 60s. All right, men were the ones who decided things that pertain to women. You will have a women's conference and everybody on the table discussing women affairs were men. You understand what I'm talking about? That is wrong. That is not what the scripture, all right, that's not what Christianity, you know, puts forward. And we're going to look at this from the scripture today. Are we learning something here today? Now, it says in Ephesians 5:33, I want us to look at something. Notice. In Ephesians 5:32, it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So that means in marriage, the man and the woman are one flesh, not one spirit, one flesh. Now, if they are one flesh, it means that the way they are to relate with each other must be with the mindset that they are no longer two. They are one. So that means what I do to my wife, I have done to myself. What my wife does to me, she has done to herself. In Ephesians 5:33, it goes on to say, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, everybody say in particular, he says, so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. The wife see, now notice they didn't talk about boyfriend here. His wife, her husband, we are talking about. Amen. 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 It's not boyfriend, wife, husband. So, listen. For there to be true oneness in marriage, there actually needs to be love. Because that oneness that exists in marriage, that oneness that is seen, that fellowship that is seen, that is rich and is healthy, all right, is only going to be made possible through a relationship led by love. Glory to God. So for there to be true oneness in marriage, there must be love. Now, I described the kind of love we're talking about. Equitable and measurable love. Equitable and measurable love. The man is to love his wife as his own self. Amen. There are four things a man needs to ask himself to be able to determine whether or not he is, you know, loving his wife as his own self. The first question is this. Number one, if my wife did this to me, would I like it? The man comes and says, no, it's my right to take a second wife. If your wife took a second husband, would you like it? That's how you to love your wife as yourself. Amen. Amen. So, but pastor, men have the right to take another. Yeah, but you see, you have to love your wife as you love yourself. How does she feel about that? If she took a second husband, what would that do to you? In fact, you said you had a side chick. If she had a side bubble, how does it feel to you? You took a picture with somebody, and the way you are aggressive in the picture with a lady of the opposite sex, if your wife was aggressive like that, would you be okay with it? You see, that is how to love your wife as yourself. You put yourself in her shoes because you and I are one flesh. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Very simple thing. Somebody is a colleague's birthday at work, and you want to celebrate this your colleague that is a female, and you put up the colleague's picture, and you now say, oh, I mean, I've never met a woman like you. You are amazing. I mean, you are so hardworking. You are industrious. And you put it on your WhatsApp, and you put so-so. Okay, now, if your wife put up the picture of a man at work and say, my God, Mike, you are amazing. I mean, you are the best thing since sliced bread. I mean, I just want to thank you for your dedication at work, how you support me. I don't know how I would have made it without you. You see, thinking about how the other person would feel is how you know whether you are loving the person right or not. Number two. If this was done, men should ask themselves, if this was done to me, would I accept it? Would I accept it? In your house, you have your wife there. Then your junior sister comes and disrespects your wife in both of you's house. I hope you know that when you marry, the house is not your house as a man. It is your wife and you's house. The Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave what? His father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be what? One flesh. It means she left her mother and her father's house. You two, you left your what? Your mother and your father's house, and both of you came together to have a what? One house. Amen. Now, your sister came and disrespected your wife in your house and says things like, if you don't behave, we are going to throw you out of this your house. Because, you know, it's our house. Disrespected your wife like that. Now, how do we know whether you love your wife properly? It is if they did that to you, glory to God, in your own wife's father's house. Maybe for some reason you didn't have rent and you were living in your wife's father's house. And her own siblings did that to you. And she said nothing. How would you feel? That's how to love. Praise the Lord. Is it making sense now? Number three, if this was given to you, would you appreciate it? Glory to God. You know, you bought yourself a wonderful car, all right, to use. You understand? In fact, it was your money and your wife's money. And she said, oh, you know, you had my head. Use it. It's your car. Amen. Now, you wanted to buy a car for her. Well, the car you bought, you cannot drive it, and you don't want to drive it. You don't want to be seen inside. You understand? You don't want to be seen inside, but you bought it and say, my baby, I love you, take car. Praise God. I have a rule. I don't buy vehicles for my wife that I don't want to be seen driving. It's a rule. One day, I told my car guy, the person that supplies my cars, that I wanted to change my wife's car. So I said, what do you have? So he brought one, this thing. And, you know, Some of these guys, the picture of the car looks finer than. So he brought the car and he brought it to the house. You know, I was not at home when he brought it. So I just said, okay, you know, this thing looked good. So when I came home and I entered inside the vehicle, I was like, what is this? I thought, you know, what's going on and all that. And I called the guy, what's this? I can't be seen driving it. Yes, for my wife, but I can't be. He said, come and pick it up. We're not doing this. He said, I didn't pay. And he brought something else that she liked. I like, because I have to treat my wife as my own flesh. Praise the Lord. Number four, if this was said to me, that means what you said to your wife. You understand? If you said what you said to your wife was said to you, will you feel loved? Will you feel strengthened? So Jesus said, all right, love your neighbor as yourself. Who is the closest neighbor a man can ever have, like his wife? So what you want to do, or anything you do in your relationship with your wife, with a significant other, you have to consider whether or not that which you're doing, all right, you would appreciate it if it was done to you. Praise the Lord. And the same thing for you if you're in a relationship. Because I'll talk about courtship in the sermon today. All right? What you do to the person, you know, you are with, if they did it to you, would it be nice? Imagine, all right, you're dating a lady and you have been with her for 3 years. Then you have seen another lady, all right? You didn't break up with this lady you are dating, all right? But you now went and did marital plans and preparation with this other lady. Then you just told her, I'm coming. You have cohabited with the person, you know, and you have promised her heaven and earth. But you say, I'm coming and all. All of a sudden, you disappear and go and marry somebody else. Then this lady that you have been stringing along for 3 years now finds out on WhatsApp, through WhatsApp stories, that you have married somebody else. Then when she chats with you, you say you will come back and you will explain. Now the question is this: if somebody did that to you, if somebody get what I'm saying? Many a times the truth is this: if we all lived in love with each other, many of the wounds and the injuries that we actually inflict on each other will be significantly less. If everybody had the self-awareness to say, this thing I'm doing, if this person did it to me, is it going to be right? Praise the Lord. The same thing with cheating. Personally, I think cheating is wicked. It's really wicked. And I think that people that cheat, if you check well, the people that cheat always feel entitled to their apology being accepted. But if they are cheated on, they will never forgive. Because it shows that they want to give what they cannot what take. So that means they know. They know that they can't take it, but they can dish it out. That's not walking in love. Walking in love makes you think, this thing I'm doing, can I take it if it is dished to me? So if I cannot take it, if it is dished to me, then I'm not going to do it because it's wicked. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I was looking at a video. There was a video, a very interesting video. Very, very interesting video. It was an American, very popular American musician, female musician. She's in the 90s now, right? 90s. And she was being interviewed. And in this interview, she began to talk about how her husband cheated against her. Oh, how terrible it was. Then, you know, American journalists are really, you know, when you have free speech and freedom after speech, people can say whatever they want. You know, in Nigeria, there's freedom of speech. But what is not sure is freedom after speech. Praise the Lord. You're free to say anything on social media. Just say anything you like, anything that comes to your head. Yeah, it's free. You are free. But whether or not you sleep in your house that night, that's the one that is not sure. Praise God. Because we are in Nigeria. And I want to warn you, don't go on social media and say anything you like. There's a cyber bullying law that states that even online, if you make a statement or say anything against somebody, all right, that amounts to defamation or destruction of their character, they can sue you and you'll be liable. Praise the Lord. So don't say you are catching cruise. That cruise, they will cruise you in Alagon. You understand? You sleep in Kirikiri. So calm down. And when they call me, I won't come and beg anybody. Pastor, one of your members went to abuse somebody. Please come and help us beg. Who do you know? I said, we'll be praying for him. Because we preached it in the Kogboro. Go and be lying down for somebody because you were stupid. No. Praise God. So hear what now. Guys, be disciplined. Don't say what you don't know. And even if you know, don't say it. Because if you cannot, can you prove it? I know, say, he gives someone belle. Oh, yeah, prove it. I know, say. They tell me, it's all over. They tell me, say, he gives someone belle. Who tell you? Prove it. That person you say, he tell me, say, he gives someone belle. You tell them, say, I don't tell them anything, no. You don't tell me. That time when we talk, say, you talk, when I tell you, sir, I got time for paper. No, you tell me now, who did there? No, me and you. Me and you. But so that means he told you in secret. You went to tweet it. Oh, she badass. Hallelujah. So be slow to speak. Glory to God. Now, listen. Now for the wives. In Ephesians chapter 5, 22 to 23. Glory to God. All right. Okay, if we even back up, look at 33 again. To the women, he says, and the wives see that she reverence her husband. Everybody say reverence her husband. Now look at in Ephesians 5, 22, 23 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now notice, it tells the wife to submit because the women have agency. The Bible expects that a woman has control over her own will. So because she has control over her will, you don't tell a slave to submit. Submission is expected from a slave. If a slave does not submit, you subjugate that slave. Are you following what I'm saying? You beat the slave into submission. A woman is not beaten into submission. She has to willingly give it. Are you following what I'm saying? It is something she willingly gives. So it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And I must state here, a woman is to submit to her own husband, not to any man. You're on the road. As a woman, you are sitting down. A man walks up. You stood up. Ewa joko, sir. Is something wrong with your head? Is he your husband? Why are you getting up? And he's younger than you. Throw that Yoruba nonsense out, too. It's not Bible. Because he has penis, you will get off one. Will you sit down, cross leg, and read a book? Listen, I don't want a word. I have a daughter. I don't want a word where my daughter, before the match has begun, she's 10-0 down. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. That is not an equitable world. Please look at it again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. Your own husband. Not to any man, every man. The husband is the head of his wife. Men are not the head of women. Is this clear? Every man is not the head of every woman. No. It is the husband of a woman that is the head of that woman. Hallelujah. Look at verse 23. Can we read? Want to go? It says what? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And in 23, he reminds us, wife, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. So, submission of a wife to her husband is worship to the Lord, just as the love of a man to his wife is worship to the Lord. The Lord is the inspiration behind both. Hallelujah. Don't separate the love of a husband for his wife and the submission of the wife to her husband from worship to God. The inspiration for both must be the worship of God. Hallelujah. Now, he says wives should submit themselves to their husbands. Wives should reverence their husband. What that word reverence means is that the word of your husband must carry weight before you. It must carry weight. It is biblical for a woman to say, I'm sorry, I can't do it. My husband said I can't. carries weight. I know I can, but I will not, because my husband said he's not in support. You see, that kind of disposition, you know, 90% of the temptation a married woman can face, she won't face it once she has that mindset. You see, there are some men that the devil is working with them specially. All right. They have extra lesson that them and the devil is put together by the devil. All right. Their own is they target married women. They are never turned on except the woman is married or she's in a committed relationship. There is a spot for them. And usually, what they look out for is for that woman who seems not to have a sense of submission to the authority of that man. They know they will get that one. That's the easiest woman to get. So they will invite that woman, the married woman, they know. That's the one they will invite for a business meeting at Sheraton, at Transcorp at 9 p.m. They are testing something. Their calendar was free, 5. If calendar was free, 4. But they will put it at 9. They are testing something. If that man says, I'm so sorry, I cannot be available, all right, at that time, it is too, my husband will not have, you know, this. Or if I will come, I must come with my husband. By the time the woman starts talking like that, you will be seeing that they want to reschedule the meeting. Because they want to just sleep with her. And for them, after they sleep with her, that's the end. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Dear women, your body is not a weapon, no. Glory to God. It's not in you. All right, your skills, your talent, your giftings. Don't let anybody make it look as though that is useless. It's not useless. That your body to sex-starved, they're not even sex-starved, they're just indisciplined men, all right, before you get ahead. Any advancement and progress you can get on merit, leave it alone. Leave it alone. The end of it is, you know, the end of it is filled with regret. It's filled with a lot of regret. A lot of regret. Hallelujah. Now, so a wife should consider the following. Because the Bible says the wife should reverence her husband. So, you know, when you speak to your husband told you this, you know, and he says, don't do this. I don't think it's the right way. And you say, no. So the question you ask yourself is this. You know, we did for the husband. Let's do for the wife. I said, wife, you say, how will I feel? How will my husband feel if I defy his authority and do what he already said I shouldn't do? I know some famous say, what do you mean? He said I shouldn't do it. And I said, is he my God? I saw one lady, she said, I'm a feminist to the core. She was talking like, you know, there are some videos some people put online, especially TikTok. This is what they are doing. You know how we send mosquitoes away? You know how we send mosquitoes away? With fleets. We don't want mosquitoes. Some people, the reason why they won't attract a good spouse is their online behavior. What those kind of people will attract? They will attract men that will take them up as a challenge. Oh, come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? They will take them up and try that. Those men, they will come and behave like mouse. They already have the script. They know you are like this. So then they come. They say, what do you think about gender roles? Oh, I don't believe in gender roles. No, I don't believe in it. I can wash the toilet. I can, you know. I mean, wash your undies. And I just believe that, you know, we should just vibe. Yeah, we take us a challenge. They don't, it's a lie. It's a lie. Abortion, and I think a woman should be able to abort anything she wants to abort. I think that all this religious, I just think that he doesn't believe all those. He's lying. He will take you to the... If we borrow money, look. Oh, God. Some guys are wicked. There was a lady like that. She was always sigh. So some guys now, they bet. He said, I will sleep with her. Wicked. I don't care what, whatever a lady's persuasion is, it gives no guy a right to be wicked. That's not manhood. It's beneath a man to do some things. A man is a king, should be a king, should be. There's a particular philosophy that should drive a man that is above his, his proclivity to be an animal. A man who is driven by his animalistic instincts, that's not a man. That is someone who is a slave to his basic instincts. Praise the Lord. They planned this lady. The guy was so warm, what perfume, expensive perfume he borrowed from those guys. The car, Abuja guys, they are notorious for this stuff. If you're dating a guy who's in Abuja and you see him in cars and all, you better fly to Abuja and hire a detective and check. The car most likely is not there. It's like those ones that wear the labia. He doesn't have work. He will just be hanging around ministries. He doesn't have work. She went to a house. She thought it was his. It was his friend's house. Those people, they borrowed him house, borrowed him to, they planned. He slept with the girl, messed her up. And she finally found out that it was all a ruse. They took her as a challenge. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, how would you feel if I defy his authority and do what he said I shouldn't do? Number two, do I want a home where I feminize the head of the union by always challenging his authority? The longer a woman challenges her husband's authority, doesn't listen to him, she weakens his position in the home. She weakens his position even before the children. And there will be one day you will need a man, in that house. And you will find out that every manly energy that was in your husband, you squeezed it out and you destroyed it. Now, it's a man and a woman, but both of it's a lesbian relationship. There are two women in the house. Glory to God. I'm not joking. There are heterosexual marriages that are actually homosexual in function. It's two men. Or two women. Praise the Lord. Imagine if thief come into the compound and you want to say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And imagine this, oh my God, oh my God. That's a lesbian relationship. They are both women. That's what has happened. There is a beauty in the husband being husband and the wife being what? Wife. Don't allow trauma make you what? Are you hearing what I'm telling you? You will need, that man needs to be a man. And I can tell you something for free. Irrespective of persuasion, I found out something. Women easily follow strong men. I watch Tony Elumelu. He's in my industry. I watch him. Look, Tony Elumelu is one of the people that I found out that has raised a lot of strong female leaders. And if you interact with many of those leaders, everybody knows who the boss is. Everybody knows. Nobody's competing. He's the boss. Tony can just say, they land in London. Oh, sorry. I got to get to Paris. I need to speak with Macron. We need to discuss this. You. Nobody say, yes, sir. They enter plane and they go. Women will easily submit to a strong male character. They will. And that is why, as a man, I beg you in the name of God, don't be weak. When I'm talking of strength, please understand what I'm saying. I'm not going to have strength muscle to be beating you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking of strength of character. You say, Pastor, she left me. How would they leave you? When they sit down to talk, you are talking, every small thing. Your breast is fine, mom is fine, breast is every small, no, let's talk. Breast is fine, now wow, you two self, you they read book, which book you they read now, which book you they read now, waiting the inside, they should leave you. she meets somebody else, and the conversation is, oh, I think you have a skill. This, have you built a business around it? Can you write a business plan? Okay, take this book. You learn how to read it. But next time I'm talking about, oh, how far? Have you read the book? Let me see a draft business plan. He looks at it, he corrects it. You see, they know the third person. The next thing you say, you bring your ear, what do you think? Have you ever had that guy in school, all right, that is ahead of everybody else? Have you noticed the guests are always around him? And they always say, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you... please now, help me to... Simple. He's a strong male character. The reason that prayer warrior in the fellowship, women are around him, is because he's demonstrated strength in what? Prayer. When she has a problem, she will remember, brother, you're a sex warrior, you're a sinner. Valentine, we don't book room now. Where did they go? Yeah. When she remember, what to say? She's remembering that person. They will leave you. You must not be a strong man that is a slave of your instincts. Grow as a priest. Learn how to pray as a man. Learn how to be disciplined. Have control over your sexual urges. Praise the Lord. As a man, improve your intellect. When people talk with you, have something to say. That is not, you don't chop, you don't sleep, you don't chop. No, have something to say. We are discussing Bible. No Bible to discuss. Read it. Have things you're reading. Have skills you are taking on, you are learning to be better. Be on that journey for constant, continuous improvement. Don't be saying things like, all women want is money. It's not true. That's a cop-out. A lot of women started out with men, and they built lives with men, and they married those men. Praise God. It was not money that they saw. There was no money. But they could see the quality of this person's choices, the quality of his life, his relationship with God. And they were like, oh yeah, I can trust that. Praise the Lord. We must not be mass-producing weak men. There are too many weak men. Too many weak men. Especially in the black community. Thank God for strong men in the black community. But there are weak men too. Baby mama's production factory. Just sleeping with everybody. Sharing AIDS, sharing syphilis, having children. And they will not be saying, my baby mama. And you are following all these musicians. They have six baby mamas. And they are wearing it as a badge of pride. I reject it for you in Jesus' name. Amen. God forbid. Amen. Gender roles in marriage. Are there prescribed roles husbands are to play and wives to play? Well, the Bible says yes. But I will contextualize it. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles with me with Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter number 4 and the 7 to 9. You know something, I know as this word is coming, some people may feel uncomfortable. But you see, you came to church. It's not the beat you came to. So that means you came here so that God will help you renew your mind. And we should submit to, you know, the wisdom of God and allow him to change us. Praise God. I said praise God. Yeah. Proverbs 4, 7 to 9. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Are we there? All right, let's read one to go. It says what? Wisdom. Therefore, and with all thy getting. Now, it says what? Exalt her, and she shall bring thee to what? When thou dost what? She shall give to thine head an ornament of what? A crown of glory shall she what? Now, the Bible does paint a picture of a husband being the provider, all right, and the wife being the homemaker. But we're going to contextualize it. But let's look at the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than what? An infidel. All right? In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the advisory to speak reproachfully. So you see that description, right? Because at this time, all right, a lot of times the women stayed home and looked after the kids, all right, ensured they were the house and the home was in order, while the man went out, whether he was in the military, whether he was in the marketplace, and brought the goods home. But I must also state that the Bible also shows us women who had businesses even around this time. In Acts 16:14, the Bible tells us about a woman called Lydia. It says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of. So Lydia was a businesswoman who sold purple. Purple was a very expensive, garment that, you know, was worn by the rich, the elites back then. Okay, we also had in Acts, Acts 18:3, a woman called Priscilla, all right, who was a tent maker. He says, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, Aquila was her husband, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were what? So husband and wife were career people. Praise the Lord. So the Bible shows us the pattern. You have a woman who stay at home looking after the home, but we also have women who were career people and women who were what? Business people. Now listen. Before we go on, it is important to state that the husband, that if the husband provides for the majority of the material needs of the home, he's playing his role. The wife should play a role by providing for the needs of the home. So let me explain this. I've seen a lot of complaints by women. My husband, he just leaves me the kitchen. He just leaves me. He doesn't help. He doesn't, you know, and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, wait. But when we look at some of these cases, you have that the husband is the major breadwinner. He goes to win, you know, goes out in the morning and comes back. And in the evening, all right, maybe the wife, you know, is looking after the kids. Now, to tell the truth, it is not easy. Some men make the mistake of assuming that a woman taking care of the home is easy. It's not. That thing is tough. Taking care of the kids, cleaning the house, cooking, going to the market, that's a lot of work. That's work. Praise God. It's a lot of work. I think that men, all right, should give their wives who are stay-at-homes or housewives, put them on some stipend just for them. Because what they are doing is work. And how you would know it's work is when that woman is not there. It will hit you that, oh my God, a lot of things are not being done because this woman is not available. Praise the Lord. Yes. So I think that said, I think also women need to realize that, look, this man has gone to work. He has gone to work to earn and all. He's playing his part. I should play mine. Glory to God. It's not wisdom. It's not going to make sense. It's not going to work. If a man goes out and comes back in the evening, they are now saying after he has come back in the evening, he should come and be helping you cook. He should come and be, it's not going to work. You want to kill the man. Praise the Lord. However, if both parties are working, there must be equity in that home. A woman comes back by 7 o'clock. Man came back by 5. The man is sitting across the leg waiting for that woman that came back at 7 to enter kitchen. He can't walk now. Amen. There must be equity in the home. The man who is the head of the home must use his head. He can't walk. Hallelujah. You can't now come back. You know, she's come and you are now like 5 o'clock. You say, ah, thank God you are back, my love. We eat pounded yam and egusi. All right, please, I don't like pando. I want pounded yam. All right, so I would love for the yam to be properly pounded. She came back at 7. You want pounded yam. So you now say, if you love me, if you are submitted to me, and you want to show you love me, we go and pound that yam. Then imagine if I'm a pastor, that I now come to now give it as a testimony that my wife is submissive. That can you imagine? She came back from work. She's a career woman. And she came back over by 7. And I told her I wanted pounded yam. And she dropped all her things and brought out the mortar and boiled the yam, put it inside, and was pounding it. I'm wicked. I'm serious. I'm wicked. Because that's not equity. Somebody understand what I'm saying? You see, the man must love his wife like himself. If he cannot get up and pound yam, he shouldn't be asking his wife to. You understand? Put yourself in her shoes. That is what it means to mean a man should love his wife as what? Himself. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you what you can do in those cases. Let me tell you what me and my wife did. You see, there was a time in our marriage, we had JC. So when we were living just us, we didn't have a problem. You know, it was cool, it was chill. Then when we had our first kid, oh boy. That's where we are, you know. In fact, if there was a fight, it was then we had some fight. And what was the fight about? My wife go, baby, I can't take care of JC, clean the house and do all these things. I need help. But an hour, I do a lot of work. I had work to do, but she needed help. So I found out that we needed to, the solution was that we needed to hire staff. Because if we didn't hire staff, we are going to be on this fight also, we hired staff. We got someone to help with cleaning. So this woman will come during the day, clean the whole house, you know, do all those things, go to the market, get stuff and all that, and everything was cool. When we had Sophia, praise God, we needed to have a living staff. So I remember when we rented a duplex, we had to rent a duplex that had a BQ. For that living staff to live in, and we have to put everything there, equip it, and make sure everything was cool. Because it's a need. So you can consider that too. Praise the Lord. You understand? So you have to think of ways. Maybe you say, oh, Pastor, I don't have money. Why don't you get somebody to live with you guys? You know, some way to help. Don't dismiss the need your wife is mentioning. Listen and find a solution. Praise God. Amen. Have we learned something so far? Come on, have we learned something so far? Yeah. Find a way. Get help. Glory to God. Now, as I round off, I have 6 or 7 minutes more. To the singles. The school of marriage. So, if you say, Pastor, I want to get married in the next 1 year. How do I go about it? Oh, well, Dapo, it's not your time. You just finished school. Amen. And you just started a business. It needs to take off. Amen. Glory to God. Do NYC first. Glory to God. Now, clear steps to marry. Number one thing I would advise you to do is pray to God for clarity. Pray to God for clarity on who. That part is important. You need the help of God. You need God's help, the leading of God on who you should be with. You know, I had, look, if I want to give you a great story, I can give you a great story for this. I plan to write a book sometime in the future, all right? Sometime in the future, all right? On how I found the one. It will be at least 400 pages long. Oh, yeah. And I'll write it, you know, to be like a novel, so you won't drop it. But you see that information, example, you will pay. You will pay, oh. But it will worth every penny. So, I remember after 9 relationships, everybody goes, it's not what you think. So, I told you most times, I think I said it before, that most of them was genotypes that ended, you know, it was a genotype thing because I made up my mind, I'm not marrying someone that is AS. I'm AS, so I'm not doing that stuff. There's nothing like, oh, we love each other. We're not doing that. We're not doing all that. Emerson will ask me, say, Pastor, there's this girl I love her so much. She's AS. I'm AS. What do you advise? I said, it's not God's will. No, Pastor, I believe it's God's will. I said, it's not God's will. I said, look, cool. Leave it alone. Go and look for AA. Because there is no point. There's no point. There's no point. Maybe somebody is here and this is your deliverance. There's no point. Why do you want to? Because why do you want to have a marriage where every pregnancy is EA? Is it, you know, it's not necessary. Let that person go and find EA. Go and find EA. God will provide EA for you in Jesus' name. I'm serious. You know, I mean, I prayed after that. I said, Lord, I'm tired. I took a break from anything relationship. I was not interested in anybody. I just faced Lord, faced ministry, and I was praying. Then my wife showed up. All right. One of the things immediately I wanted to find out was if I like this person, but I wanted to be sure. At the end, I was like, I found Jesus, I praise God. So pray. Talk to God about it. Don't date without spiritual intelligence. Look at your neighbor and say, don't date without spiritual intelligence.
You have to pray. Pray to God for clarity on who. Number two, after you have prayed, befriend the person to gauge interests. Don't just go and meet somebody that you are talking to for the first time and say, hello, I want to see you. And this person comes. How can I help you? They'll say, please, can you sit down? They now say, you see, in this life, it's a very mysterious life. And yesterday, as I was praying and talking to the Lord opened my eyes. And as I was flying, he said, you are my wife. No. First, get to befriend the person to gauge interest. Good afternoon. How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Check. What's the body language? This person listening to you. Befriend the person. Have conversations. Talk with the person while you are praying. You know, discussions and stuff. Like after service now, maybe you are praying for somebody. After service, walk up. How was church? How was service? My name is this, you know. What is your name? You know, I really enjoyed the service. So, conversation starters. Befriend the person first. A man can befriend the person and a woman can befriend somebody too. I didn't say you should ask the person. I said befriend. Glory to God. Some of you, your husband can be sitting in your TL. Glory to God. And you are freeze, your face is hard. No, smile. You as a single person should learn how to smile, male or female. Smile. Anyway, let's practice it. Let's smile. Guys, come on. Smile of a marital person. Come on, smile. Don't make your face too strong. You see, when your face is too strong, people will need prayer and fasting to toast you. Hallelujah. God, you can't be believing God for a spouse and your Instagram is on private. You see that guy that is praying about you, sister, for clarity. You know one of the things he's going to do after he finds out your name? He will do, you know the word that I said we should do? Investigation. There was a time someone was talking to my pastor. This person is asking me that's interested in me. I said, give me his name. Say, give me his handle on social media. He gave me handle and stuff like that. I went to check all every single thing. And he texted me. I said, okay, he likes this. He's into this. He did. I saw this comment here. You understand? Very simple. So those of you who are single, if you are married, leave your Instagram on private. Your husband is following you. But if you are single, remove the privacy. Let people look at you. Amen. All right? Because the person is checking. Because look, one of the things I did, after I met my wife, back then in 2012. Was it 2012? Yeah, 2012. 2011 into 12. It was 2011. Because I went to check her out on Facebook. Listen, my wife had a lot of pictures in there. Let me tell you, I looked through every single one. I checked everything like that. To secondary school, went to GS1 because she uploaded, went everywhere. I said, okay. Tomboy face at the point. Praise the Lord. So befriend the person to get the interest. Number three, inform church leadership. Carry church people along. Inform church leadership on your interest. The church will help you so that you don't ask out a married woman. Imagine you go and tell a lady, sister, I don't know. We've been talking and I think the vibes are right. I think that you are the one for me. And she said, oh, wow. I mean, I really like how you spoke, but there's just a little problem. I'm married. The church will tell you, if you want to go and talk to someone that is already in a relationship or about to marry, they will tell you. Praise God. We have had cases like that. Someone comes and say, Pastor, I just feel as though the Lord is leading me to sister so and so. And now tell the person, reverse, collect that leading from the Lord back because she's getting married in 3 weeks. No, I'm not joking. No, I said, collect it back. She's getting married. The Lord did not lead you. Amen.
So inform church leadership on the interest. Inform the church. Amen. I said amen. Yeah. Inform the church. There are things the pastor knows you will never know. Don't be trying to know. Don't be sneaky. Inform. Glory to God. Then after you inform church leadership, you ask the person, all right, for, you know, permission to cut them, to date them. All right. Dating is not a prison sentence. All right. Courtship is not a prison sentence. You know, courtship dating is not a minute, but it's that period where we're trying to know each other and see if this will work or if what we've heard from the Lord aligns with, you know, what we're seeing. All right. So between 6 months to 3 years, maximum. I don't believe in dating of 10 years. That's a long walk to freedom. This is not a civil rights movement. Praise God. 10 years, what are people doing there? 10 years? 10 years? 10 years? We have dated since 2015. No. There is no trophy for that. It's not wise. Glory to God. I said glory to God. And after you, both of you have got to that place of, you know, certainty, you approach parents on marriage. Never marry someone without the permission of their parents. Glory to God. As much as lies between your power, don't marry anybody without the permission of their parent. Praise God. Then we go to the marriage. Now, I don't have time this month to go into some other things. And I think that we leave that to those who are ready to get married for the marriage counseling that we do in church. OEKEA has a solid marriage counseling ministry, and we prepare people, all right, before time, before it is time for them to marry. And the truth is, it doesn't end after marriage counseling. After you are married, you can always schedule follow-up meetings with the marriage counselor or with me at month one, month six, year one, year two, year three, because, you know, during the first 3 years of marriage, there are usually peculiar issues, challenges, all right, that couples usually have. And with proper counseling, you can actually navigate. Definitions. For courtship, courtship is an invitation to marriage. It should be appropriate enough for both parties to decide if a marriage should occur. A courtship is not time. It's not a time for sexual intimacy. All right? It's not a time for financial responsibility, which means this is not a time for the man to be acting as a husband to the girl he's courting. All right? Neither is it a time for the woman to be acting as a wife to the man she's courting. So this is not a time for the girl to go to the man's house and be cooking food for him. Don't do all, those things are not. That's not. Those are. Don't start doing those things before it's time. Praise God. Maybe occasional to just show the person that you can cook, all right? That you know and stuff. But don't do all those kinds of things. You are washing clothes, marking territory. You go to the person you are cutting house, and you are washing his clothes. Hey, Momo, Uele Mo. Yeah, see, you want to show all the other ladies that this is your man. Hallelujah. All right, so a courtship is not a time for financial responsibility, lordship, marital authority, all right. A courtship is a time for prayer, reflection, discovery, and investigation. Praise the Lord. Now listen. Look up, everybody. I know some of you here may have made mistakes. I have made mistakes. I made mistakes before marriage. All right? But you see, it's just a lesson as to what will not work. Learn from the mistake. Pick yourself up. Pick the wisdom. Do the right thing. Praise the Lord. So don't, you know, cower and just go over the mistakes you have made over and over again. Because you see, when you meditate so much on your mistakes, you will repeat them. But if you're able to take the lessons, know why you missed it, and take the wisdom and decide you're not going to miss it again, then that is when you're most likely going to have success. Praise God. We're going to pray. Can we rise up on our feet?
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For more messages, kindly search for our Telegram channel using the link t.me/oikiacc. God has blessed you.